Welcome to the DuPage Vineyard Teaching Channel. Thank you for joining us.
Well, it is the last Sunday of 2013. I find that a weird thing a little bit. So let me just ask you, as we wrap up the year, think for a minute, how'd it go? How was your year? For some, you might say, yeah, it was a good year. Others, not so good, tough year. Others, it was a mixed year. Probably for all of us, it was a mixture at some level. But truthfully, when I ask people that, most of us actually don't know. And what I mean by don't know is we have a vague idea that it was good or bad, you know, depending on how we feel. And maybe there's a couple things that stand out. Most of us can't remember hardly anything from the first half of the year. That's like so far ago that's like, well, that, gosh, yeah, I know that happened, but that was like in prehistoric times. And we just don't remember, and we don't necessarily keep track very well, which is really too bad because I think one of the keys to starting a new year well is to wrap up the old one well. You know, how we finish one stage or one season has a lot to do with how the next one goes, and I want to talk a little bit about that today. How to finish this year well in the, two days that we have left of it. And as we do that, I'm going to take some time just to share personally about how my year was. And I'm being presumptuous enough to believe that you're interested in that or that something in my year might be helpful to you. So I'm going to jump in. Often I'll end the year with a talk I call Mistakes Made and Lessons Learned. And this is going to be in that venue, that genre. As I look back and reflect on the year, here's what I see. And hopefully it will be a model at least that you can follow. So before we get into that, I want to look at some scriptures because one of the most common encouragements or exhortations that we have in scripture is the exhortation or command to remember. And you see it throughout the Old Testament, you see it often in the New Testament, this challenge, this encouragement to God's people to look back and remember. And I want to run through those because, and I'm not even going to do it comprehensively, but there's a lot of things that God in the Bible tells us to remember, to look back, think about, remember. So for example, in Deuteronomy 5:15, God encourages his people to remember what he's done for them. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. He's saying, remember, you know what? You were in this situation. If you look back on your life, you were here, and look what God did for you. Look at how he did it. It was amazing. Take some time to look back and say, what has God done for me this year? You know, don't forget about it. Remember it. In John 15:20, the first part of the verse, Jesus encourages his disciples. He says, now remember what I taught you. Remember the words I spoke to you. And he goes on. And he says that in other places, to remember what I've said to you. The Holy Spirit will help you remember. So if you can't remember, ask him. So remember what God has done as you think about this last year. Remember what God has said to you. Maybe it's in a service, maybe in your quiet time, maybe in a teaching you've heard, maybe someone came along with a word of encouragement that you knew was God speaking to you. Call those to mind. Remember those. Psalm 77:11. I think I gave you guys the wrong verse. Yeah, 77:11. That was my fault. I couldn't read my own handwriting. But he encourages... The psalmist encourages God's people to go back, and it says, I will remember, David is speaking, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. You know, as you look back, there are probably some times that you look back and you say, man, that was God. That was, no doubt about it, that was God. When that prayer was answered, when that person was touched, when God did this for me, that was God. Remember those things, the miracles, the mighty deeds. Let those fill your mind a little bit. Then Deuteronomy 9:7, it's an interesting one, let's put that. Remember this and never forget how you provoked the Lord your God to anger in the desert. From the day you left Egypt until you arrived here, you've been rebellious against the Lord. Remember your failures. If you look back over the year, honestly, there's some times that you fell short, that you did something wrong, didn't do something right, whatever. There's times that we have all failed as we look at the last year. And Scripture actually encourages us to remember those as well. Remember those. And I'll tell you more about that in a little second. Ecclesiastes 11:8 is a similar theme where it says, however many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. Amen. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many, and everything to come is meaningless. I didn't want to really end the year on that note. sorry, your future is bleak, it's all meaningless. But what he's encouraging us to do there is remember the days of darkness. Remember the hard times. Remember those. Don't try and just ignore them or forget about them or pretend they didn't happen. Take a good look at them. The days of darkness, the hard times, the difficult times, the times that you felt overwhelmed and didn't know what to do and how to handle it. Remember those. There's actually value in that. Finally, in Deuteronomy 32, he gives a perspective. He says, remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. In other words, remember the big picture. You're part of a story that's way beyond you. So remember your history and remember the history of those around you. Look back at your parents, at your grandparents, at other people you know who've gone before you. And remember what they learned and what they experienced too, because you're part of that story. You serve the same God. You've got the same kind of history in some ways. Now, why do you think the Scripture says over and over to remember all these things? There are some real practical benefits that come if you'll take the time to do that. One is that it will release faith. As you look back and remind yourself, oh, this is what God did. I remember when he did that. I remember when he provided for me in this way and he encouraged me in this way and answered this kind of prayer. When you've got that in your head, you can look forward to things to come and say, wait a minute, I know God. He's done this before. I serve a God who can do big things. Look, I don't have to be afraid. I can face this with confidence. Okay, it releases faith when you remind yourself, when you remember, what has God done? What has he said? Things like that. Second thing, if you focus on all those things, it will keep you humble. If you honestly look back at your history, and which includes the hard times and the failures, it will keep you humble and depending on God. Now, I'm not saying when you look at those failures, that's not a time to say, ooh, here's a good reason to beat myself up. Look at all the stuff I did wrong. That's not the point. The point is just to have an accurate perception of ourselves so we can say, man, I need God. I need him at work. I need to depend on him. And it will prompt you to do that. The last thing it does, well, not the last thing, but the last one I'll mention, is remembering actually sets you up to grow. It sets you up to grow. And what I mean by that, I mean, you've heard the old saying, you know, those who don't learn from the past are destined to repeat it. You know, the reality is some of us have been repeating the same year for years. You hear what I'm saying? We're facing the same issues, we make the same resolutions, we have the same struggles, and we never seem to break out of it. It's like Groundhog Day on an annual basis. We just keep going over the same thing. That's a movie, by the way, if you don't know that reference. It's a good one worth seeing, Bill Murray, etc. Anyways, but we just keep going because we don't actually take time to remember where we've been, what God has done, where we've succeeded or failed, things like that. And if we don't remember and learn, we're kind of stuck. We'll just repeat it. But when we do take time to remember, we set ourselves up for something different. Now, by remember, I want you to understand something. It doesn't just mean like have a mental checklist where you, oh yeah, that happened, that happened, that happened, that happened. The biblical idea of remember is to reflect. Reflect on it. Think about it. Don't just say, oh yeah, I saw God do that, that was great, and then go on. Take some time to think about it and let the truth of it soak in a little bit so you can learn from it. Okay, to look, for example, at your life and say, well, what worked and what didn't work, and then why? If something you tried didn't work, that is, it's good to say, well, it didn't work and be honest about it. It's better to take another step and say, well, why didn't it work? What was it that undercut that? Was it a bad idea in the first place? Was it that I actually needed to get other people's help and I didn't, and so I was too much for one person? Was it that I actually had 20 different things I wanted to do and I only can do 18 and it's just too much for one person to do? Why did it not work? Or looking at your success and say, why did it work? What did I do right that time that I can do in the future so I stack the deck in my favor? That's what it means to remember, is to reflect and learn from it, dig into it a little bit, which requires some time. It requires taking some time, and none of you have the time. You have to take it somewhere. You have to make it happen. Taking that time to say, okay, I'm going to think about this. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to ponder this. I'm going to ask God to shape my thinking a little bit. Because if you don't do that, what will happen is, one, either you'll just blame life, well, life was hard, I didn't do it, or you'll blame other people, or you'll blame yourself in some way, but that doesn't help, because the reality is none of us are victims. You aren't powerless. We all have the power to make choices. So we remember and we reflect on what we've done. You can say, well, what choices did I make or didn't I make that I needed to? That's the kind of thing that I mean when I talk about when it sets you up for learning. It sets you up for growth. When you actually take time to press beneath the surface and say, why did this work? Why did it not work? Okay, what did I do? What did I not do? And remember, it's not a time to beat yourself up. I say it because we're so vulnerable to that. The things that where we make mistakes, so many of us stop there and just feel bad about it. And that's all we get out of it, is we feel bad. Instead of saying, okay, wait a minute, yeah, I feel bad, I wish I had done that better or differently, what can I learn from it? And it goes against our grain. It goes against the grain of the world we live in, which is fast-paced. You know, don't take time to ponder and think and reflect. Just get going, get to the next thing, get to the next thing, get to the next thing. And that's why we often do the next thing the same way we did the last thing. And it doesn't work, and we go downhill. Okay, so remembering means reflecting and looking honestly at what we did and didn't do, at what God did or didn't do that we expected, to get a handle on that. So, remember, if you want to finish 2013 strong, take some time the next couple days, and if you kind of bleed into 2014 and have to take the first couple days, that's okay. You know, you haven't sinned. The point is, take some time, wherever you can find it, to remember and reflect on some of those things. Now, I want to actually, Paul said at one point in one of his letters, he goes, I'm going to apply this to myself for your sake. I thought, okay, I'm going to try and do that. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to try and apply some of this to myself for your sake, hopefully my sake as well. I find that when I go public with some of these things, it actually helps me to own them and grab hold of them at a deeper level. So I have a benefit in that sense that you don't have. But I want to reflect on my year a little bit in light of that, the remembering that I've been doing, okay? And to do that, part of what I do is I keep a journal. I pulled out my journal and read every entry over the last year. And I really encourage you, if you don't journal, to start. If you do, to actually do it. And I don't do it every day. Sometimes it'd be like, you know, well, gosh, I hit every day that week, and then it'd be 2 or 3 weeks later for the next entry. You know, like, what happened in there? I don't know. You know, it probably wasn't a real good time, you know? But when you do that and sit down with that, you get a perspective, and you can see themes emerge and patterns and things like that that God has done or God has said or things like that. And so that is what I've been doing. And there were 3 really distinct themes as I remember what God did, said, what I succeeded at, failed at, that emerged from that. The first one was the theme of prayer. I was shocked as I went back over this last year to realize how many times God called me to pray or told me to pray. I was stunned. I mean, if you had asked me, I would have said, yeah, God's kind of talked about prayer this year. I was blown away when I actually took time to look back and went, wow, this is actually something he talked about a lot. This was a really big deal for him, for me, you know, that this is something I'm supposed to move into and learn how to pray and pray more and pray better and go deeper in this area. And I went, okay. So then the next question I had to go with, so how did I do with that? If that's what God is saying, how did I do? Anyone want to guess? Please don't guess. It was mixed, actually. And looking back, I probably prayed more in 2013 than I did in 2012. But it was one of those things where if I started out here, I moved to here, but I think God was kind of calling me to here and went, well, you know, I didn't quite get there. If I look back at 2013, could I say, man, I was a man of prayer in 2013? No, I couldn't say that. But I do think that's kind of where God was pushing me towards. Now, my perspective is he's not done with that. So I suspect 2014 is going to be, well, Dave, you got this far. That's good. Now we're going to go here. Okay. So I didn't approach it. And then my question was, okay, why not? Actually, I'm going to take this out of order of my notes. What I did see this year was a significant increase in my intimacy with the Lord. And what I mean by that is my ability to talk with God about the things in my own heart. You know, I'm not a super emotional guy. I'm not a super connected guy. If you ask me what I'm feeling, the answer is usually going to be fine. If I'm having a really bad day, it'll be frustrated. And that's kind of my emotional range. So it's a growth area for me to get to identify, okay, what's really going on here, and then to learn how to talk about it with God. That's been a growth area, but one of significant growth this year, and significant growth in learning how to dialogue with God, in hearing his voice, not just for ministry times or direction for the church or something like that, but for me. Hearing God speak into my life, into my heart, there's been some significant growth there, which I'm really excited about and grateful for, as well as a significant increase for me in the sense of God's presence with me, which is really satisfying. But, like I said, having said that, that's the good part. The bad part is I don't think I got anywhere near what God was calling me to. And then part of reflecting is saying, okay, why or why not? And there were a couple things I realized. I looked at the year and reflected a bit. Well, one, I found often, maybe you found this too, an internal resistance. Like, I'd get up and say, okay, I'm going to have my prayer time, and just, you know, the computer would be calling so loud. I just felt like I had to sit down and just, you know, do one more game of Minesweeper just to start the day well. And suddenly it was an hour later. I'm going, oh, that was my prayer time. Okay, well, Lord, it's been good talking to you. I'm glad we could share this important moment together. You know, things. But I found this internal resistance that I had to actually learn how to press through and often didn't press through. I just found, you know, I'm going to do something else now. And it was just hard to get started sometimes. Second thing I found for me myself was there was a lack of routine. Over this year, for whatever reason, I was never able to settle into having a steady place and a steady time that was consistent. And whenever that happens, I find, you know, routines are my best friend. When I've got them in place, I just get things done. They happen well. When I don't, and I didn't this year for a variety of reasons, I find it really hard. You know what I mean by routine is, you know, at a certain time, I'm going to go to a certain chair, and I've got this time alone, and this is my prayer time, and that's my time. My time, my place. And I didn't have that, and I didn't force myself to get one. And that hindered my prayer life. Lastly, I found the other thing that hindered me from really stepping into what God had for me was a combination of late nights and TV, which I feel really embarrassed to tell you all, but I know that you love me and you'll just have grace for me. But, you know, when I get home at a certain level, I say, well, I just need to relax, you know, I need to kick back, and I just want to watch a show and kind of decompress from the day, which turned into two shows, which turned into three shows, which turned into, oh, look at all these shows I've got DVR'd, and suddenly it's really late at night, and I'm can't get up in the morning, and then there was too tired to pray, and the resistance kicks in, and then I feel bad, and I need to make myself feel better, so I'll watch a good show. Just, you know, some of you do that with chocolate, but, you know, I with TV, and that was something I just had to come to grips with. So all those three things combined actually hindered me from stepping really into what God had for me in prayer. Now, I'll talk next week about what I'm going to do about that, but I'll leave you hanging for now. So, but that was one theme, as I look back, the theme of prayer that kept coming up regularly, God just calling me into that. The second one was my need to deal with discouragement and depression. Some of you aren't aware of that or didn't know about that, but, well, so many of you are because I don't hide it, but that combination of discouragement and depression is something I've had to kind of deal with for the last 10 years or so through a combination of things that hit us, hit me personally, or hit our family, I'm going through in wrestling. Some of the TV actually comes out of that, I think, as it was just became an escape and developed into a very bad habit. But that's a reality. And as I looked at the my journal, I realized there are very few weeks in a year where I don't have to deal with that in some level. You know, and some of you, if you've dealt with that or experienced it, you know what it's like, where you just have, you don't want to get out of bed. There's been one or two Sunday mornings where I said, God, I don't want to go to church. He said, you have to, you're teaching. I said, I don't care, someone else can do it. I won't tell you which Sundays those were, but, you know, but that's a reality. And it sucks the life out of you and the energy out of you, and you know, it's horrible. But for me, there are very few weeks that go by that I don't have to address that or face that at some level. Sometimes it's light, sometimes it's significant, but it's kind of always there. You know, if you've ever played sports, you know, if you get an injury in a certain area, that injured area, is often a place of vulnerability. It's easier often to get injured there again. You know, I've twisted my ankle a couple times, and suddenly my ankle becomes vulnerable to twisting, and it just happens easier. If you go through something like depression or discouragement, for example, and you really get hit by it, even if you come out, it stays that kind of vulnerable spot. And what I found is Satan loves to pick on our vulnerable spots. So for me, when I talk about discouragement and depression, one, some of it's just from life. Some of it's my own emotional things I've got to deal with. Some of it is the enemy attack. Either way, it's a reality that I have to face. And many of you do too, I know. So, and the problem for me is not that you feel it and then, okay, deal with it, move on. It's when you get stuck there. And you have a feeling like something happens and you feel a little discouraged, and it was like, oh man, that was hard, that was tough, and that turns into, you know, life is bad. Oh, and that goes to, man, well, not just life, but I'm bad, and you're horrible, and I'm horrible, and life is horrible, and you just cycle down into this pit. And when you get there, it's really hard to get yourself out. And a lot of us, what we do is we sit there and just kind of stew until something happens that's good that kind of picks us up, and we, oh, okay, I'm get going again. I don't know about you, but I have no interest in living that way. I don't want to allow myself to live that way. I don't just want to accept that and say, oh, this is just the way life is. I don't buy that. So anyways, as I reflected on that, I also noticed a very distinct pattern in my journals, that the times where discouragement or depression were hit were linked to two other things. One was what kind of God time I was spending, God time, devotional time, how much time I was actually spending with God, connecting with God. If that wasn't there, my vulnerability to depression or discouragement went way up. Secondly was, to what degree was I exercising? Developing my spiritual life, my connection with God, and just practically getting out and exercising, sweating, was those things more than anything else. That was probably two-thirds of the issue with depression or discouragement I had this year. And when I looked at those, now any doctor can tell you that those two things, maintaining your spiritual life and exercise, is a good antidote to depression. I could have told you that. I could have taught on that. But it was shocking when I looked at it and said, oh, and it actually is true for me. Oh. Now you're all distracted. That was God emphasizing this point, okay? That's what that was. But honestly, this is one of those things where, you know, often we know something and then we realize it's true for us and we go, oh, wow, I didn't know it was that true. This is what that was like for me, realizing, oh, wow, this applies to me, not just everybody else. In fact, this has a huge effect on my life, way more than I realized. It was eye-opening. And often, you know, I got there, I don't know about you, I felt like I'd get to a certain point and felt, man, I don't have time to be depressed. I've got too much work to do. I got to get stuff done here. Oh, but I have no energy. So, and the computer is calling, and those computer games. You'd be amazed at how good I am at Minesweeper at this point. So, anyways, I'll talk more about that and what to do about that next week. But for me, recognizing, wow, as I remembered, I realized, okay, here's an area I struggle with, and here's the two things that contribute that more to, than anything else. So do you think as I look forward to 2014, I'm going to be taking that into account? Well, if I'm smart, I am. Ask me in 2014, which is next Sunday, so you'll have plenty of time to ask. So that was the second thing. First thing was feeling like, man, God has really emphasized prayer and called me into that. And I recognize that there's some things I did well and some things that I can improve on and address and change. Second thing was the whole area of dealing with depression and discouragement. The third thing is a kind of a general insight that I want to share with you, because I found that as I went through the year, there was one pattern that was so distinct, it was stunning. And almost every place I could look at in my life and say, man, I had victory in this area, I really grew in this area, I made progress here, there was one theme underneath that, one reality underneath it. And almost every area I could look at and say, man, I didn't do well here, I didn't accomplish what I wanted, or I fell flat, or whatever, the reverse of that same theme was there. And here it is. And this is, by the way, you guys, this is worth the price of admission today. I forgot to have someone at the door charging admission. Follow through is the key to breakthrough. Okay? Simple phrase. Follow through is the key to breakthrough. I talk to people all the time and to myself, and we want a breakthrough. We're stuck somewhere. We want to break through and get a hold of something and press forward, whatever. And often what will happen is people will have an experience where God will speak to them, will touch them, will show them something, you know, in a service or through a prayer time or through their Bible reading, and they get this great insight, and it's like, oh, this is great. But nothing changes in their life because of it. And the reason is usually because there wasn't any follow-through. It became just a moment, just a little event, just an experience, and there was no follow-through. There was no building on it. There was no pressing into that. So what do I mean by follow-through? For example, I think the way it often works is that God gives us, sets a direction, like prayer, for example, with me. Sets a direction, but then part of our job is to press into that and to actually make plans and commit and say, okay, how am I going to do that, God? I find that's an area of great confusion for us. We're not always sure, what's my part and what's God's part? Well, God can show you what's your part and what's his part, but part of what is our part, if I can say it that way, is to press in to follow through on what God has said. You say, okay, God, if you're calling me to prayer, if you're giving me this insight about my identity and that I'm your son or your daughter and I never thought of myself that way before, you have to press into that. So that means taking time to ponder it, taking time to think about it, taking time to pray about it. And some of you are saying, and where am I going to find that time? Well, you got the same amount of time as I do. We all have the same amount. You just got to take it from something. But take it and press into it, to ponder it. Take steps to apply it. Take steps to go after it. Okay, how do I actually put this in practice, God? And you do it because that's where it starts to get built into your life. That's where that insight turns into a real breakthrough, is when there's a follow-through that's added by it. And then what happens is God will give us a direction or an insight or whatever. We begin to press through and follow through, and then God seems to come and add that something extra, the energy of the Holy Spirit or extra power or insight, and it becomes more of a reality that we start to live in. Some of you have discovered that this fall even. I've seen some of you, talked to many of you, with this idea of not having to live under a performance mindset, that I don't have to perform for God's approval, and has brought relief from guilt and shame. And it didn't happen just because someone said it. It happened usually because at some point you took time to think about that and say, oh, wow, well, is that what the Bible says? Well, that's really true. Wow. But the more it, whatever level of insight or freedom you got from that, that doesn't have to be all there is. As you keep thinking about it and praying about it, saying, God, give me understanding and press into it, it will grow. Okay? No matter what it is, that's the way it works. God gives you the direction, you press in, and God brings you into the reality of that as an ongoing experience. Okay? Give me an example from the church, actually. This fall, beginning of fall, we said our theme as a church is more of you, God. We felt like God said that. That was an invitation for us to pursue him for more. And we pressed into that, okay? The teaching schedule was all about more of you, God. How do I get more of you? And we talked about pressing into worship and things that would hinder us and how to go after that. And I saw people do that. We opened up the service, and I, you know, someone said, are you sure you want to do that? I'm like, no, but we open up the service, and we're going to do it today as well, and say, okay, who thinks they might possibly have a word from God? And I can't tell you how many times I saw someone step up here for the first time going, I'm not really sure if this is God, but I thought I would try and go for it. And it was. I mean, I saw that from so many people so many times over the course of this fall. I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone say, man, I just prayed for someone, they got healed. I've never seen that before. I mean, I thought it was possible, but not for me. I thought God can do it with other people, but not through me. Simply because we said, God, we want more of you. We prayed for it. We planned for it. We made space for it. And people stepped into it. And guess what? We started to see it. Seen more healings this fall than I've seen in the last year. I got to pray for someone in Carol's Garden last week. It's my office is at Carol's Garden, the little restaurant. I'm leaving, and I see the receptionist has got a bandage around her arm. And you can see the little kind of blood spot where it's going through. I said, what happened to your arm? I've never talked to this gal before in my life other than, you know, how was the day? Oh, it's fine, you know. And she said, oh, yeah. And she tells me this whole story of how she got kind of pushed over and a rug burn and scraped. She goes, but that's not the problem. The problem is my back. I kind of hurt my back. My tailbone has been sore for days, and it's just not getting better. I'm like, okay, well, could I pray for you? I'm thinking, all right, this is my chance, you know. Could I pray for you that God would heal you right now? And she's like, looks at me, well, okay. And so, you know, I wasn't going to lay hands on her. I just said, okay, well, Lord, I just pray that right now you'd send your power and that I got her name and that you would just heal her, set her back free and take all the pain away. I said, well, so how's that? And she looks at me, she goes, well, thanks, I really appreciate it. I said, no, you know, let's move it around a little bit. You know, see, how's it feel? You know, I'm in the restaurant going like this, right? And so she goes, well, okay. She goes, ooh, it's better. Next time I came in, she's the receptionist. She came over to my table to talk. I'm like, yeah, but this part still hurts. And she got called away. I didn't get to pray for that. But if it's still hurting, next one is, you know, I got my next prayer time lined up if she's there and it's still there. Okay, God, heal that wound. But that's just because we're going for it. Saying, God, I want more of you. I'm going to put myself out there where if you don't come through, I got nothing. But I'm going to make place for you to come through, and we've seen it. I think that's what happened with the offering last week. We've been praying, God, more of you, more of you. We planned for it, we pressed into it, and $21,000. Now, I don't care who you are. You cannot go home and think, boy, God wasn't part of that. Okay, you know, you get that? We aren't that big a church. And we don't have that many wealthy people. Like I said, someone told me, I've seen the cars you guys drive. You guys don't have lots of money. So I get that. But God did something that we look back now and say, look what God did. That was amazing. We saw more of God, even in that kind of practical way. Follow through leads to breakthrough. When God gives you a direction, sets your heart on something, speaks to you, as you press in and follow through, that's where you see amazing things happen. Too often, and I've done this, that's why I recognize it in my journal, too often we stop with, oh, that's a cool story, that's a neat experience, that's a great insight, and it stays just that instead of becoming a reality in our experience. Follow through is the key. If you want a breakthrough in your life, follow through on what God is doing. Follow through on what he says. Press into that. So, the last Sunday of 2013. I want to encourage you to take time these next couple days, and we're going to move into worship here in a minute, to reflect on your year. Think of the places that you did well, the victories you saw, the blessings God has, and actually take time to savor them. Take time to enjoy them, say, man, that's good. That was a good time. That was a good thing God said. That was a good thing God did. Here's what God did for me. And take time just to allow yourself to enjoy it and celebrate it. Let your faith be encouraged by the things you've seen God do already. And take some time to learn from your past, you know. Make it your goal that in 2014 you're going to make a whole new set of mistakes instead of redoing the old ones. You're going to make them. Just let's try and make new ones. You guys have heard me say this often. We know we're going to fall. Let's just keep falling forward. We can get really far if we just keep falling forward and getting up and falling forward and getting up. You're amazed at how much you can grow if you just keep falling forward and getting up. So make that your goal.
This has been a DuPage Vineyard Church production.